Welcome to Cairo Nights, a little bit of a belated Cairo Nights. We the White House asked us to hold off on broadcasting until the debate was over. We agreed after tense negotiations. But now we've got, and I don't want to delay too much on this and talk about the whole show. I'll do that in a little bit. We've got the Seattle Times longtime political reporter, Jim Bruner, on the line. Jim, are you out there?
I am here. You always emphasize the long time.
Just because I have been here a long time as well. And since I've been here, I've been seeing you on the job. So, Jim, when you saw that, when you heard, let's just start off in the outset of the debate. For me, I was a little bit surprised at how sort of reasonable everybody was. It didn't seem like this certainly wasn't the shout show of the first debate, and it seemed to be even more genteel than the competing town halls. What was your take?
Yeah, certainly. I think that maybe Trump in particular was, warned, or they were both warned, really, of course, that there was a mute button that could be in effect if they interrupted too much, and He didn't do as much of that, the president. I noted that I think the moderator had a very light touch on that mute button because he did try to talk over several times, and they both actually kept demanding, let me respond to that. Let me respond to that. I need a minute here. I need a minute there. But yeah, you're right. It was a little more channeled and civil than maybe some of the previous encounters.
So before I go any farther on the actual issues here, so I would say that the winner of the debate might in fact be NBC News' Kristen Welker. What would you assess from her job? That's got to be the worst job or the hardest job in all of politics, is trying to be a debate moderator. I mean, I've moderated like low level debates. I mean, as far as local politics go, I assume that at some point you've had to be out there doing this. It's not easy, but doing it with two, big personalities like this who do not want to give up the limelight. How do you think she did?
Yeah, I think she did all right. I mean, I think she was trying to stay, not make herself, the story, for example. Let them have a chance to really go at each other. I think there were times when maybe she could have cut off. There wasn't a lot of in-the-moment fact-checking, for example, although she did ask good questions and factual questions. I thought, in that sense, she did a good job.
And what do you think? So let's talk a little bit about some of the issues that went across it. I mean, we can work backwards on this one. Let's talk about fossil fuels, climate change. I know that if you read and follow Joe Biden's politics, he was never quite seen as green as some of the greenies really wanted him to be. He seemed to want to emphasize that point today. He seemed to want to talk about that he is actually willing to sort of talk about de-emphasizing fossil fuels, things like that. That obviously, I think that the president felt like he had him in a gotcha moment. Were you surprised that he went that strong into fossil fuels when, maybe he's not even collecting any votes by doing that, because a lot of those folks were predisposed to vote for Biden anyway?
I think that the statement that he made where he sort of said, yes, he would transition away from oil. I can't remember the exact words right now. That's something the Republicans are going to jump on. Trump was jumping on it, but it's not like the oil industry is super popular. I noted that, you may remember, maybe it feels like 10 years ago now, but our Governor Jamesley tried to run for president for the Democratic presidential nomination. Vaguely remember. Yeah. A few people do. And he ran on a climate centric plan, and some of the things that Biden said reminded me of that. And in fact, I think Biden has adopted some of Jansley's climate language, not as far as Jansley would go if you looked at the plans that Jansley put out, but he's clearly talking about a transition to a clean energy economy like Inslee does. He tries to emphasize like the positive side of it, which is, you get cleaner air and cleaner water, and you also get a bunch of jobs. But there is a danger, of course, in a general election of getting people fearful of change and of people in older industries, losing their jobs. And I'm sure the Republicans are going to be just jumping all over that.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, because what I thought was interesting in particular about this was that when Jay Inslee would get his moment, and they were just moments on the debate stage when there were other candidates there, he would immediately jump on climate change, climate change, climate change, because that was his major party, major platform, major plank in his platform. The other candidates seemed to mostly, you know, let Jay Inslee talk about climate change and move away from it. Why at this particular point do you feel like Joe Biden is moving toward that, and not, because he's never been a guy who is a real environment hawk. He's always been rather moderate in that regard.
Well, I think there are a lot of people in the Democratic Party who want him to say that he takes this issue, and which is a serious issue. It's scientifically proven. There's debate on the details, but this is a serious problem for the world. And so, A, it's probably the right thing to do, right? The United States needs to address this problem like other countries do. And, you know, B, there are people in his party, progressives in particular, who might be a little soft, you know, or squishy on Biden. I mean, I think they're going to vote for him anyway. So, yeah, there is some electoral risk. But, you know, let's not forget that some of the things that Trump said and has continued to say on climate and clean energy are just, some of them are just kind of bonkers. I mean, I just got to be honest. You know, when he says that, I mean, it's fine for him to defend, you know, being energy independent, which is, by the way, is a different thing than being addressing climate change. But when he says things like, you know, the windmills kill all the birds, and the fumes from windmills are somehow equivalent to, you know, massive greenhouse gas emissions.
Right.
I just think that stuff is kind of absurd. And, you know, maybe people who are already predisposed to sort of mock environmentalists and Democrats eat it up. But I mean, really, the thing on the windmills, I mean, he cared a lot about the birds being killed by the windmills. He, you know, meanwhile, he says that, you know, COVID deaths are, you know, going better than expected.
Right, right. That makes sense. That is Jim. Hey, Jim, we may try and grab you back for just a couple minutes after the commercial, but that's been Jim Bruner, very recently hired Seattle Times political reporter, rookie, I guess, political reporter for the Seattle, no, longtime political reporter for the Seattle Times. Jim, thank you so much for joining Chironites About the Debate. We'll see if we can squeeze you back on at the end of the hour to talk a little bit more about it. So we will be back with more Chironites after the break. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I think we've managed to get Seattle Times political reporter Jim Bruner back on the line. Jim, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's talk a little bit more about the debate before we turn people loose to the rest of their lives. Would you say that this was debate had more substance than the prior, than let's just say the town hall and then the shout show debate prior to that? Or would you say it was just more of the same?
I mean, certainly more maybe than the shout show, which was a big distraction. I think some interesting moments came out of the town halls. And some of that is, you know, when politicians do get challenged in an effective way, like Trump did in his town hall, for example. The Biden one was a little more staid, but, you know, yeah, I think it was an interesting debate, and it had moments that both candidates can look at, and, you know, and they'll be spinning it and seizing on.
What did you think about when the president went at Joe Biden for a couple of things, but the thrust of a lot of what he was saying was, look, you've been a senator for all of these years. You were two-term vice president. You didn't get anything done during this period of time, or at least according to the president, you know, you didn't do anywhere near enough during all of that time in public service. Do you think those were effective attacks from the president?
I do think to some extent they were effective. It kind of goes to the core of Trump's appeal, even though, you know, he has been president now for almost 4 years. Biden's been a politician for a long time. And these were sort of moments where I think he even called him typical politician, all talk. And Biden, I think, did seem rattled by some of that. Of course, Trump, I think, is exaggerating the Biden-Obama record in many instances. But I did see, you know, at one of those moments, Biden didn't seem to have a great comeback at one point, stopped talking before his time was up, looked at his watch, and, you know, that's a moment where he didn't look as good. And I think the question, to me, one of the central questions of this whole race is, you know, are people tired of this atypical politician who seems to presided over a time of great chaos, whether you support him or are opposed to him, versus a return to a more conventional, maybe a little boring politician who, you know, you don't necessarily have to think out every minute of every waking day.
What do you think, when you're looking, we're talking with Jim Bruner, a political reporter for the Seattle Times. Jim, what do you think about, where do you think the president, I thought he was much more measured than he has been in the past. That's obviously, that's a relatively low bar given where he's gone in the prior debates. But nonetheless, I think the rumor was he was, again, resisting any form of coaching, but he came in looking pretty coached and pretty, like, spot on the, at least as far as focus on the issues and not showing that that very famous temper. Where do you think, though, he didn't quite get where he was, where maybe his handlers would have liked for him to go?
I'm really not sure about his handlers because I don't know does he get handled? I mean,
yeah, fair enough.
He does what he does, right?
Yeah, right.
That's like it or hate it, right? I think moments where he talked about immigration and kept repeating, you put people in cages, not really addressing the issue of family separations that he was asked. I understand why he did that. Also, I think it was factually incorrect that, where he talked about people at, you know, this catch and release policy where people are released pending immigration hearings, that's a big exaggeration. I'm sure that, you know, probably he or his handlers don't care about that, but that was a moment where, you know, he said something that just wasn't quite in the factual realm. And then he made some comment about only the low IQ ones come, you know, back for their hearings, which I didn't understand where he was going there. I guess he's portraying people crossing the border illegally as
right.
Shifty criminals, as he's done for a long time.
Do you think that everyone was expecting that he was going to do a lot of attacking on the Biden family end of things, and he certainly did. He went after the son, he went after the brother, all this mystery money from the Ukraine or from China. Do you think that any of that resonated or was effective, or do you feel like that was stuff that has been trotted out and dismissed? How did that impress you?
I mean, you know, that's kind of a hot topic that's still up for debate. I think that, you know, there was sort of this, no, you did. No, I didn't. You did. You know, back and forth between the two.
Right, right.
No, I don't make money from China. You did. You had a bank account.
Oh, right, you're, right.
You know, son got paid $3 million or whatever, which I think is based on a House Republican report that has been disputed. I don't know. I think that... there was a lot of clouds raised over both of them by both of them. And I think, I don't know how much that's going to play to like a swing voter, right? Because
right.
I think it's sort of messy and chaotic. You know, I don't think that, I think we need to know more about the situations. I think Biden had a good answer when he talked about Trump's tax returns. I don't know how plausible it is, you know, to say that he's still waiting for an audit. Like he keeps saying, you know,
right.
I don't think he wants to release his tax returns. I don't think Biden fully answered all of the questions thrown at him by Trump about, you know, his son necessarily. But again, he's raising the issue of foreign interference, which
right.
again seems to be happening with some of these emails that are coming out. But again, we still need to know a lot more about that.
Absolutely. That is Jim Bruner, longtime political reporter for the Seattle Times. Jim, thank you for joining Cairo Nights.
Thanks a lot.
And coming up on Cairo Nights, we are actually going to be talking about the Homeland Security's warning about Russian hackers targeting local, state and local networks of voters. And we're going to talk a little bit about, well, you know, the it's the races is the race is hard, far from over. We're going to look at some of the highlights of the debate and maybe some of the lowlights as well right after the break.